you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. A couple hours away from a Prime Lifetime sales meeting. In fact, tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, we'll introduce one of our new sales associates. We're excited to share him with you and some of his faith journey and what he's doing at his young senior age and some other fun things. So
yeah.
Sure to tune in tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and you'll hear from a special guest, Lord willing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were tuned in yesterday, you heard another Memorization Monday. It was fun having you join me, Marianne.
Oh.
You have great reading skills, and so you read through a couple chapters and got some feedback. I can't remember if it was on Sunday or Monday's post, but Ken Welch with the Singing Men of GNN, he said he's taken the Memorization Monday challenge.
Excellent.
And so he's read through the Bible, I think.
Yeah, a lot of 30 times.
30-plus times, many times. He has that practice every year, every
couple of years
to read through the Bible. So this is probably second nature to be memorizing scriptures because he's read them so many times. And Janine Keller, another friend, she signed up online. A number of people have signed up. By signing up, they're receiving a special email. I have the email all formatted, so if you're new to sign up for the Memorization Monday Challenge, you'll get three different links. You'll get two different attachments with the 100 scripture verses all printed out on three or four sheets of paper. You might say, what do you mean three or four? Well, if it's done in Arial, I made it all onto three sheets.
Oh, funny.
If it's like Times New Roman,
that's funny.
Four sheets. But they're all in blocks of 10, so you can kind of look at them all.
I'm sure signed up. I am so excited about it. I think about it quite a bit.
Yeah, you got the email.
I saw that. Yeah.
Some other people are signing up, and I'm thinking about different gatherings that we'll have down the road and special people that'll be interviewed on Monday talking about Memorization Monday, how they memorize scripture or the importance of it.
I bet there's a lot of informative tidbits out there that we can kind of glean.
I think it'll be a fun gathering.
Yeah.
And also I'm thinking sometime of having people here at the Great News Radio Center. And I have this movie, it's Inside Out. It's kind of an animated movie, but
I've
it's about what's
it
going
two,
on
times.
In the brain and how all those characters. I thought that would be kind of a fun gathering because as we're memorizing scripture and, you know, what's going on in your brain.
Oh, dear, I don't know. Not sure about that.
Okay, maybe we'll.
It is a great movie, though.
Yeah, I think I've watched it with Esther probably three different times.
Have you?
It's just such an interesting concept.
It is.
Each of the people, you kind of go inside their brain and you see this panel of characters.
Right.
There's joy, there's sadness,
right.
there's disgust, there's anger.
Yeah.
And there's one more.
Yeah, there is.
The guy that's always fearful or whatever that one guy is called.
What is he? I don't remember the name.
And each of the people have it. So the father has it, the mother has it. And so anyways, it's an interesting concept of how they work together or work against each other and yet how they end up working all together and how you need sadness and you need joy.
Exactly.
And there's a balance in all that.
Right.
But with the memorization, I was thinking, you know, it could be kind of a fun gathering. We have just a little lighthearted evening and we watch that together and talk. So, who knows?
There'd be a run on Netflix to watch Inside Out now.
Now, today, being Tuesday, Memories of an African Son is the book that we continue to read and talk about. Marianne Simpkins is the author. And today, I think we're going to be maybe two chapters.
Okay.
What is that? Matobo. Matobo Hills. And we're going to learn about that and possibly change.
Okay, shall we start?
Let me see. Is there anything else?
Globetrotters.
Globetrotters, yes. That's coming up in a couple days. The Great News Radio Children's Choir will be singing two songs during the pregame festivities. And you can basically get tickets for $22. If you went to the assembly hall yourself to buy tickets, I think the cheapest is $32. Because they have tickets and then they have this facility fee of $7 and then a per ticket fee of $4.50 to $9. So basically, they're about 30 $32. But wait, you can get them for $22 by calling Olivia at a special number and mentioning the Great News Radio Children's Choir.
I think this is so fun.
So if you want to join us, there's a number of us going. All the children are going to be there along with one of their parents and then some other friends and family members. You can call Olivia at 678-497-1869. That's 678-497-1869. Mention the Great News Radio Children's Choir, and for $22 you can get tickets. So that's for this Friday, and the actual pregame things I think start around 6, and the children will be singing at 6:30. So it's all happening this Friday, January 25th. Did I mention the sales meeting that I'm about to have?
Well,
I think I
briefly,
started the program
and
then I derailed myself with some other tangents. Oh, that's right, because we have a special guest tomorrow. But the Prime Life Times, we continue to press ahead with that into our 16th month. And our deadlines and proofreading are happening right now. And
yes, they are.
The February edition will be out at, you know, just, what, a
on
week?
The, comes on the 30th, I think.
Yeah, so, wow, that's keeping us happy.
There's so many, I think, very interesting articles in there, many of them written by Christians.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
All right, Matobo Hills.
Okay, this is chapter 32, Matobo Hills, Matopos. There are places in this world where you feel you are unexpectedly in touch with an ancient past. Matobo Hills in Zimbabwe is one of those places. The first chief of the Indibele Nation in Zimbabwe, who was himself the son of a Zulu chief, is buried in a cave at Matobo. The hills were given their name by the Indibele people, and the land was sacred to them. It was called Matopos when I lived there, and is now Matobo again. World's View, the British called it. I can understand why. Standing on the summit of one of those granite hills, looking out to forever, one has a sense of expanse that is hard to fathom. The only other time I felt such an expanse was once when driving under the big sky of Texas. I had to stop and readjust my eyes. The horizon was further off than seemed possible, like the world just wouldn't end. Scientists say the hills of Matobo were formed over 2,000 million years ago, which means a long time ago, however long it really was. They surmise that some unknown force pushed the granite to the surface to create the enormous, smooth surfaces that form Matobo Hills so high up. Bald heads, the chief of the Indibele called those high surfaces. It is quite a climb up to them. Massive boulders are strewn everywhere, like lonely sentinels to something long past, to some upheaval long ago that we can only wonder about. There are old rock drawings in the caves at Matobo, old, well-done, colorful drawings that are among the most ancient on Earth. There are over 4,000 in Matobo Hills alone, and many more scattered throughout Zimbabwe, many in the beautiful Northeast Highlands. It makes one pause and wonder.
I wonder.
It does, about the ancient history of the land, a history we do not know. Something about the Matobo Hills goes back further in time than we can imagine. One can feel it, standing on those wind-swept rocks, certainly much further than Cecil Rhodes and the damage he wrought, and further back than the Indibele, long before the ruins of the kingdom of Butua at Kami, or the ruins of Ziwa, and before the ancestors of the Shona built the great Zimbabwe, long before all of that. This land we now call Zimbabwe was inhabited by an ancient people in an ancient time. Some archaeologists date their findings at Matobo Hills, including tools, by thousands upon thousands of years. Matobo Hills is where I saw my first white rhino. He was across a small flowing stream from me and was very wild. The two of us stood eye to eye, speculating about one another, about what we thought of this encounter. I could have reached out my hand to touch him. Part of me wanted to back hurriedly away. He was an imposing creature. White rhinos are pictured over and over on the ancient cave drawings at Matobo. Leopards, antelope, and other animals and birds abound through the Matobo Hills, including the world's largest concentration of black eagles. Matobo, the place where Cecil Rhodes also wanted to be buried, and indeed is buried. Strange. Very wrong, somehow, that fact. And yet in some way understandable, at least to Rhodes.
Now, those that maybe haven't been tuned in on Tuesdays don't know that we had one of the chapters where you talked about Cecil Rhodes and his legacy, for better or for worse, some of the damage he did, yet he was well-known and...
did a lot. It's an interesting mix.
Yeah.
The remains of the colonial patrol that died in pursuit of Chief Loban Gugula when he was running for his life are also buried there. How unusual. So many things, so many burial places, so much clashing history. Yet something about all of it makes a bizarre sense, like the land won't let go of the facts of what happened. Matobo has a strange gravitational pull. It could be, as scientists have now established, that the granite shield of Zimbabwe puts off an electromagnetic force, literally attracting energy, like lightning, which strikes in Zimbabwe more than almost anywhere on Earth. The granite shield exudes gamma rays, which carry the most intense energy wave of the entire electromagnetic spectrum.
And how much time did you spend there?
Yeah.
That probably rubbed off on you, right?
We wonder if it does.
It's maybe why people feel compelled to purchase you coffee all the time when you're standing in line or in the drive-thru or whatever.
That's kind. Somebody, a lot of people did at Christmas. Thank you. The Bible says that from the foundations of the earth, through all those years of the ancient hills of Matobo, when people of the Stone Age, the Iron Age, and the various nations of the San peoples were drawing so artistically on rocks many thousands of years ago, that God has sat above the orb, the sphere of the earth. Do you not know, the prophet Isaiah asked, as recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures, have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Isaiah 40:21-22. I want God's blessing to reign over Zimbabwe. There is something special in that land, in all of Zimbabwe, something indefinable. We have only glimmers from our archaeology and oral tradition, only fragments of his ancient story. Much is still shrouded in the foggy mists of history. We do not know what Matobo was called in those ancient times, long before all of these events of our own generations. We don't know who might have named it, or how they viewed this singular place with its gravitational pull. There are mysteries on this earth, and many places, that have so far defied our understanding. Matobo, with its intense waves of electromagnetic energy, is one such place. But my prayer is that peace will begin to emanate from the very particles of the land itself, as an unstoppable force, like those electromagnetic waves, and begin to saturate the nation, and all the people of Zimbabwe will be surrounded by the peace they have long sought and deserve. God, your word said that you view the earth's sphere. You see us, all of us. I pray for this planet, our home. Will you help us? Help us to be part of the healing, part of the beauty, and not part of the damage. Bless the earth of Zimbabwe, and let it be a place where the ancestors of the people are proud, proud of the beauty and goodness their descendants can create. Help us all create goodness in our own lands, in the places we are each responsible for.
Being those agents of change right where we're at.
I do hope people do pray for Zimbabwe. There's such a crisis going on there right now.
Chapter 32, Memories of an African Son. And you can purchase your multiple copies. They should be in any day now.
Yeah.
Right here
should
at the
be
Great
Wednesday
News
or Thursday.
Radio Center in Lincoln Square. Chapter 32. Chapter 33 is called Change.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a change. Are you ready for a change? Change in the weather. Warm up Earth.
Warm up Earth.
In our
area, great.
Anyway.
That's great, Mark. Is there time? Okay.
I think so.
All right, I'll read. Chapter 33, Change. We left Zimbabwe, still called Rhodesia, during the first glimmerings of the unrest that would years later result in revolution and war, and would ultimately devastate the nation. As the African people reclaimed their homeland and afterward had to deal with corruption. But that's not why we left. My father had been asked to serve as the president of a fledgling Bible college in Accra, Ghana. The government of Ghana was intent on making the country a place of excellence in the modern world, and that was especially important to them in the area of education. Rather astonishingly, the Minister of Education had agreed to allow our little mission to pursue the possibility of becoming one of their college institutions. All educational institutions in Ghana at that time had to meet strict qualifications and pass yearly government inspection, so there was a rush to get the curriculum and instructors up to the par so that all our credentials could pass the strict licensing criteria. The missionary family already in Ghana was very active in finding a campus, lodging for students, both male and female, and food provision and all other necessities to pass the licensing, as well as highly qualified teachers. My father, in addition to serving as president, was called upon to teach the Greek language and other subjects, and we recruited another missionary family from eastern Zimbabwe to come as well. The Minister of Education was pleased with all that he saw, and he and his government colleagues voted to approve our plans. It was the first time the government had approved for missionaries to build an institution of higher learning, and the new college was issued an official license of operation.
Wow. Well, you said your dad was very bright.
Yes, he was. But that was God thing.
Yeah.
Having once been unsure about going to the bush country of Zimbabwe, I now found that I did not want to leave it. I loved the bush country. But leave it, we did. For many long years, we continued to receive letters and calls from our African friends in Zimbabwe, letting us know, as best they could, the situation that ensued as the land was eventually given over to bloodshed. It was heartbreaking to read and hear as person after person was frightened, unsure, and some killed. My little friend, with whom I'd sat so happily watching the river baptisms, wrote me years later to say that she, her new husband, and child had fled from the native reserve lands to a city, hoping for safety, but that she was unbelievably frightened and asked that I pray. Our move to West Africa was hot and troubled. We had left a number of things behind in Zimbabwe for other missionaries in case they needed them, and we now seemed to not have all that we needed. Living in a large city was a first for me. I had never lived in crowded conditions with so many people, and we had no car. It was quite some time before we could afford one. We had landed at Ghana International Airport late morning, with me missing my home of Zimbabwe already. We were met by the only other missionary family in Ghana from our organization. My father had recruited them to come to Ghana after his pioneer fact-finding trip years before, when we were still in America. And they were the ones who had done the initial groundwork to set up both the mission and the college. They had lived in the northern rainforest area and were now in Accra. They had done an outstanding job and gained much respect from the Ghanaian government by the time we arrived. On that first hot afternoon in Accra, I sat quietly, holding my satchel and listening to the adults talk. It occurred to me that I could go into the nearby bathroom and brush my teeth, which seemed hopeful, but as I started, someone rushed in to tell me to stop. Apparently, we were going to have to boil all our water, every drop, even what came out of the tap, due to parasites and a less than desirable sanitation system. I went back and sat down. We were off to a troubled start. While Ghana has changed tremendously since those long ago days and great modernization has occurred, I think that any place that is new takes adjusting to, no matter what. Experiencing that one fact myself over and over has led me to great empathy for international students and other individuals today coming to live in my own country. That afternoon, there were discussions of the crime rate, which explained the heavy metal grids around windows and the yards with tall fences, some with glass on top, that I'd seen as we drove from the airport. This was all different. This was not our mission station, surrounded by the people we were experiencing life with and who cared for us and we for them. This was the big city. Just as it had been on that day when I first set foot in Zimbabwe, there was more to come in Ghana. The rainforest of the north and the colorful packed market full of vendors, and my beautiful Polish piano teacher. She spoke barely a word of English and was the daughter of a Polish government official at the Polish embassy. All the books she brought for me to practice from were in Polish. But whatever I succeeded or failed to learn regarding the piano, I learned a tremendous lot just watching this exquisite young woman who had a pure self-esteem such as I've seldom witnessed. Then there were the nights, falling asleep, listening to the sounds of the high life music from the somewhat questionable night business right next door to my window. And there was my French tutor, a wonderful African friend our family loved, but whose English was sketchy at times. I was once reduced to tears in my attempt to navigate the two or three languages he and I were attempting to communicate in. I often stood looking out to the ocean and watching the lines of men haul in, by brute strength alone, the massive fishing nets strewn far out across the glistening blue-gray sea. I stood next to them, watching with interest as they examined the catch. I loved having a fresh coconut the minute it came down from the tree in the hands of a young boy who had shimmied up to get it. And most of all, there were the truly extraordinary Ghanaians who we met and worked with. Ghana, for me, synonymous with change. It was from my mother that I learned that when change comes, when it hits you in the face, you'd better go ahead and rise to the occasion. Pivot and deal with it, or it will overtake you with emotion like a ravaging bandit. Standing still is not one of the options we're given in life, as long as we are breathing and moving. We go forward with the flow of life, taking the good we can with us, or we retreat into ongoing regret. Learn to greet the new people. Figure out a way to make the new house work, even if it's not as nice. Figure out a way to make the kids suddenly like bunk beds instead of having their own room, or whatever it is one is facing, because the alternative is to turn to the past and get lost wandering there, because the present is where we live.
Amen.
And our present then was Ghana. Some of our strongest memories and enlightenment can come from a place we never meant to be. Father, let me never seek change for change's sake or because I'm filled with malcontent, but help me learn to embrace real change, the necessary changes that come my way. And show me how to help others who are also going through change, whether exciting change or heartbreaking change. Show me how to encourage, help, and listen to them. Don't let me ever leave someone alone in change if I can help it.
Oh, very good. Oh, I wish we had more time to talk. SR News will
Okay.
Change. That's chapter 33. Matobo Hills, chapter 32. Both contained in this book, Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center in Lincoln Square. Oh, wow. Gosh, so much to say. Gotta go. Love the book.
Thank you, Mark.
These chapters. Thank you, Marianne. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless.
We are walking in the light.